Committee on Telecommunications together. The time is 5 minutes past 4 on the 9th of May. Present Representative Collins, Representative Thompson, Representative Gall. The program today is being chaired by Representative Thompson, and I will go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like first to review very quickly what's in your folders. Executive summary prepared by Jennifer Klein, which is an overview of the Division of Public Services and the Legislative Teleconference System. Second sheet is legislative information, existing LIO offices and LTC and BTS locations. Third one is equipment and services summary to give you an idea if you're not familiar with what kinds of equipment are in these different centers, in these different locations. The fourth one, section 4, as it's listed on the bottom right-hand corner of the page, is perhaps the most meaningful to you. What that does is briefly outline what exists in FY85 and what will exist per the draft budget that has currently been approved by the House and is fast nearing completion in the legislature as a whole for FY86. And then on the fourth, is the budget itself, where you can look at the numbers, and if you haven't done so, you might want to look through those second sheets on it. Breaks out where the officers are, where the assistants are, where the moderators are, and what will now be volunteer sites. You can see directly whether your district or what districts are affected by the budget. And then the last sheet, estimated operating costs by site, which gives you some appreciation for what these locations have cost up until this point. I wouldn't want to spend the time having reviewed these documents now. I would do that at your leisure. We are very pressed for time. I would like to introduce people from the LIO system to expound upon that in their own way. So I don't know who's going first. Linda, Sue, Kathy, whichever.
If we may, we'd like to have us all just sitting up.
Great. Put it that way.
And we got our back on with it, too.
I'm Kathy Baltus. I'm the network coordinator for the Division of Public Services Information and Teleconference. On my right is Sue Gullickson. She's the Information Resources Manager for the Information Offices of Public Services. And on my left is Linda Hoff, who is the Teleconference Manager here in the General Office. I would like today to have Sue and Linda briefly discuss the services that we currently offer and have offered over the years, both during session and during interim. And then I will outline the budget reductions as reflected in the House version of the budget, and then talk about perhaps some of the service implications that we might be seeing that would be different from the way we've been doing it, which is what Linda and Sue will be doing. So with that brief introduction, Sue?
Bear with me. What you have before you is just a basic outline of...
Did we have your name?
Sue Gullison, Information Resource Manager in the General LIO
Office.
Thank you. Bear with me. I'll just go down the list of information services and give you a brief overview of what we do. If you have any questions, please feel free to stop me. We broke it down into session and interim services. We do all of the services all year round. Some of the services are reduced during the interim, and then we add some services during the interim that we don't do during session. I'll start at the top left-hand corner. The telecopy capability, I think you're all aware of, at least your staff has utilized the service a lot. We use this service to send urgent material back and forth between offices or the legislature for their information if they need for teleconference news or for committee meetings, testimony, that sort of thing. Public opinion messages, I'm sure you're all aware of also. We've had a huge increase this year. I think your staff could attest to that. DHL courier service and express mail service, we send via DHL courier service to about 8 of our 17 LIO offices every day during session. We send copies of bills, any pertinent information from your offices to the public or to your staff around the state. We use express mail services for those sites that DHL does not serve. It's a one-day service. It's greatly reduced during the interim, just on an as-needed basis, only for those urgent materials. Everything else goes first-class mail. We have a resource library that's located in the Anchorage Legislative Information Office that contains all legislative generated reports or any hot issues that come up during the session.
Excuse me. Let the record show that my dear friend Marco Pinal Berry and Mike Davis are present.
The resource library contains distribution copies for the public and for staff and legislators as needed. A lot of the same reports that are contained in the resource library are indeed contained in the legislative reference library. However, they don't have distribution copies, and we maintain the distribution system out of there. We have, of course, all legislative-related materials, copies of Title 24, the uniform rules, constitutions. We've put out many, the directory of state officials, the pocket directory, that sort of thing. We have various publications that are available to the public and staff as needed around the state. We also, in the Juneau office, we report on the daily floor sessions every day. We have two staff members that spend an hour and a half each day reporting on the daily floor sessions. Just when bills pass from a standing committee to the next committee, when bills pass on the floor, so that each office around the state can be updated as to what's going on. Tracking legislation, of course, the public calls, we get hundreds of calls every day around the state. You know, where's this bill? Where's it been? Where's it going? That sort of thing. Will you call the committee and see if they've got it scheduled or if it's going to be scheduled in the near future? We answer those kind of questions. And bringing it back down to the Juneau office itself, we serve as a statewide resource office for all of the LIOs around the state. So if they have any questions regarding things that have to do with the legislature or the executive branch, if you will, the judicial branch, executive branch, or the legislature, we serve as a sort of a guiding post. We don't answer those sorts of questions necessarily, but we will direct the constituent to the proper agency that can answer those questions. Then if you look on the interim side of the list, it shows a lot of the same functions, but it also shows, look down the list, answering legislative finance questions. 2 months after the session ends, we get inundated with questions for backup material on what passed out of budgets. Is there any backup regarding a line item in HB 60, for instance? So we spend, myself and my assistant probably spend 2 months just, you know, 5 hours a day answering those kind of questions and sort of being the middlemen in that area. Training new and old employees, of course, happens closer to the start of the next session. But also brushing up on systems ourselves and any turnover that we may have in our office is important during that period of time. And vacation. That may seem light, but really the only time or the best time to take vacations for us is with all legislative staff, I think, is maybe the fall when it's slower. So I thought I'd throw that in there. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Okay, I'll start on the teleconference side. My name is Linda Hoff. I'm the Juneau teleconference manager. The list, as noted from Sue, is different for session and interim, but it's much the same. What the teleconference office does is teleconference. So the first four things on the list, five things on the list, are describing functions that the Juneau office does to schedule statewide teleconferences. The Juneau office is the center of all of the statewide scheduling for teleconferences. We send out the word to people that teleconference is going to happen, when you schedule them from us, give them the backup information, things like that, make sure that they happen on this end, and then gather the information from across the state to give back to you and your staff, participant names and things like that. That's the main thing that we do. In addition, the services that we do include statistical compilations of what we've been doing that month, how many teleconferences, who was where, which sites were busy, which weren't. A statewide computer entry service that shows across the state up to the minute teleconference entries. If you schedule a teleconference for tomorrow, it's on that computer today so that everyone out there knows what's going on. Information services does that same statewide function. Distributing backup and publicity for teleconferences. For legislative teleconferences, everything that you give us about the teleconferences that you want to have, we send out to the public so they can be informed and give you the best possible testimony for your hearing. We also gather and collect from across the state participant names and addresses so that you can make further contact with your constituents when necessary. Those are our session duties. During the interim, as I said, they're slightly different. We do much the same thing, although the load is reduced. The average number of teleconferences during the interim for the last 3 years has been about 6.8. So our load in that sense is reduced, but the amount of time it takes to do 6.8 teleconferences works out to around 20 to 30 hours a week to just do the teleconferences, bring the equipment, set it up, break it down, and actually moderate the teleconference, as well as do all the scheduling and backup. We're kind of proud that it looks easy. It takes time to do that. Other things that we'll be doing this interim, and that the offices do across the state, this interim will be the network conversion, going from four-wire, breaking that down, and bringing it down to two-wire. We'll be doing the equipment processing and maintenance, keeping the stuff for your teleconferences up to the minute. And we'll also be working on better procedures to let your staff know how to use the network in its new configuration. We've gotten a lot of input this year of suggestions of how to make the process better. We'll be working on that. As Sue said, training of new staff. Each year we lose our staff for the interim. For a teleconference moderator, when we have to be online with a new shorter session, the first week of session, we have to have them on board to train them so that they're not making, we never make mistakes, right? But so that they're doing the best possible job that they can be doing for you. Again, the other thing that we'll be doing and that is important for us is using up your invitation time. That the session is, the interim is when we can use that time. It's the time, and that has to be put into our management plan. The list is pretty self-descriptive. Any questions?
The 20, you said something about hours in the beginning of your presentation. Mm-hmm. How many hours for those up for?
It's an average that I did, looking at to see what we were doing during the interim. It's an average of the last 3 years interim from July through December, an average of the number of teleconferences we were doing per week. And then that is figured with some figures that were worked up to determine the cost of teleconferences, how much time we actually spend on it. So there's a factor of 3 hours of behind-the-scenes time per teleconference. Plus, there's a factor that each teleconference runs usually on average of 2 hours, from 1 to 3 hours. So it worked out to about 20 to 30 hours a week. 27, I think, is what I figured out to exactly.
So I would infer from that, then, we're talking about 5 hours per teleconference, is the number of man-hours you have to put in. You'd have about 5 of them a week.
Yeah, but we didn't. In our other figures, we didn't factor the fact that we have each teleconference last more than 1 hour. And that does include a number of the things. It includes accounting and billing and the trouble reporting and scheduling and a lot of those backup things.
It does?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
David?
Yeah, thank you. I have a couple questions. Actually have to do with Nicole with the teleconferences. And one is, and it's something I mentioned to one of the people working on teleconferences, is why we don't have the teleconferences set up in certain rooms that have a lot of teleconferences. Because it seems like there's a lot of time that's take down and put up time that if it was just stayed in place, then you'd probably pay for some of that equipment after session or two. That was an idea I had, and it may not be feasible, but if a room is used 40% of the time or 35% of the time right now for teleconferences, then just leave one on the table so they don't. That was just an idea I had. And the other other idea that I had was, you know, several times we had, not this year, but last year, we had the speaker phones. Maybe that's even more feasible, like a small place like this. You don't really need it necessarily to have a everybody pushing the button, although it doesn't allow for as much privacy, but you could have a speaker phone set in the middle of this, and it wouldn't take all that setup time and takedown time. It seems like that would be something that could have staff could be trained to know how to do that, you know, so it isn't that complicated, or you could get something relatively simple, so you just place a phone call on that, so your staff can be doing something else, so you just really talking to the person by phone. It's nothing elaborate. You just, you know, there's an exchange there. You take the testimony or whatever. So I'm just trying to figure out ways that, you know, I think you guys got hit real hard, and harder than I would have liked to see you get hit. But given that, you know, what are things that we can do to sort of keep maximum public input with fewer dollars? And the other, I guess, which is related to this, and that's we've got every meeting we have staff, and all the committee has staff that are always at the meetings. And is it something that they could be working with you to do some of the teleconference work, so that I work as a staffer too, and I frankly, I mean, that's a lot of downtime when you're in a meeting, you're just sitting there, and I'm not saying you're not important, doing an important function, but maybe there's something that they could work with your division, so that, you know, that we still maintain a lot of citizens' input with your people. There's just some ideas I've had over the time I've been a legislator, but also as a staffer. Because I, frankly, we've certainly got the general public into the idea of using teleconferences, and I don't want it to cease, and I would like to not see anybody get a budget cut, and I would like to have seen yours less than it was, but I mean, that's the reality. And so given that reality, what can we do to, you know, make things work a little better, I guess. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Thompson?
It may be an unfair question, and I don't know, perhaps I'm not the person to answer it, but one of my concerns, I think, is that we're doing two things here. One, we're transferring the management function to the Department of Administration and opening up this system for bureaucracy use, as well as the legislature. And then at the same time, we're reducing the manpower. My concern, and I trust it's shared by all of you, is that if the legislature is turning over control, and I suggest that once before, and the one that you didn't feel we were turning over control, but maybe we're not, but at any rate, if the legislature is going to be just another customer for use of this system, where do we fit in terms of priority? Because if I wind up being told that I can't have a teleconference because whomever the revenue department is having one, I'm not going to be real happy. And if we don't have sufficient manpower to run that system, adding the bureaucracy to it as a client is up to this point that it's pretty much been denied to use it while the legislature's in session. So those are some of my concerns, I think, about the possible budget impacts. But I think I'd first like to ask Linda, from the standpoint of that, frankly, that number kind of startles me. Really, it takes 5 manpower hours for every teleconference. That's a lot of manpower. That's a lot of time to do one of these things. The other thing I think, from my perspective, is that if the bureaucracy has it arranged, we sometimes react very quickly to things and have a need to do these things in a lot more timely fashion than the bureaucracy. And maybe they've been on that schedule for weeks. Now I come charging in there and say, I need a consistent teleconference tomorrow night. And she says, that's been booked for 3 weeks for, you know, those hours. You can't have it. No. You and I are going to get to know each other real well, real fast, if that's the story. So I think I'd like to hear some discussion about that.
Okay. First of all, I got a note from Kathy saying that I should let you know that it's 5 hours of Juneau time, and that doesn't include a lot of the time at the sites across the state. So it's a time-intensive to serve the legislative needs and occupation or service. maybe I should turn this, well, the second half on in terms of the amount of prioritizing and the things that are being worked out in order that the legislature will continue to have the service level that they have at this time over the past. It is a problem. We have been instructed to keep and maintain the same level of service to you folks as we have in the past. And we're going to do the best job we can at that. But we're going to need some priorities as to, maybe I'll turn it over soon, as to what is the most important. For example, last year we had, in the juvenile office, we had 3 staffers to do all of these things. This year, I'm doing that alone. It's going to have some effect. Kathy is her bulk.
Yeah, if you would like to come up to the table here.
No, not right there.
come right on up. And, I think the main purpose is in the free flow of discussion, if there are questions to ask, I'll just defer to the body. Just say your name before so that Eric can pick you up on the tape in the interest of developing good dialogue. So if one of the members wants to interrupt, why go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm Warren Endicott, Executive Director. The priority and placing this under administration, we're not sure where that's going right now, and the latest rounds are that we'll probably keep that within legislative affairs. The only thing that administration, if we turned it over, would be DIFCOM. They would have been handling the bridge up in Anchorage, and it's a question then of connecting all the lines that come into that bridge. We're also looking at additional bridges in Juneau and Fairbanks, which in essence expand the system over what we have today. There will be some benefits. There will also be some drawbacks. The drawbacks are that the major drawback is the fact that other than Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, people are not online all 24 hours a day. They have to dial in and come in through one of those bridges. As far as priority goes, there's no way during the session that the executive will have any priority over the legislature. So they won't. It'll be just like it is today, whether it stays in this agency or whether it goes over to the administration. It was just, they have the technical expertise in Anchorage by far. I'm not so sure they've got the moderator expertise. So, and it really just doesn't make that much difference where that equipment resides in Anchorage.
Have you, Warren, or again, I don't mean to diminish your expertise, but I know you really knew this, and these people really want to wrestle with this thing every day. But I think maybe I need to ask if anyone has had any second thoughts about the draft budget that exists right now, and having had time for this to sink in, and whether you feel that we might make a last-minute adjustment, whether we're about to make a big, fat mistake here. And I think the second question is, and the ancillary to that in my mind is, it's both a question and a statement. How quickly can the legislature respond if we decide during the interim that we have made a mistake and we need to beat the system up again before the legislature cranks up in January?
On the phone lines, it would take a while to get that back in. With the phone lines gone, I don't know, the lead time would be at least 60 days, wouldn't it?
More like 90.
So as far as phone lines that are taken, the 4 wire lines that are taken down to the outlying areas, that's your answer. It would be 90 days to recover from. On the, about the only other change is the teleconference moderators in the LPC sites, not that we've changed over to volunteer sites. That would be a matter of going out and recruiting people and paying for them to moderate teleconferences. We're leaving the equipment in all of the legislative teleconferences.
That was another question I had that Linda mentioned, the maintenance of equipment aspect of it. If you're going to volunteer sites in any of these locations, in virtually all rural areas, bush areas, are you telling me that this list of equipment is just going to sit there gathering dust? Because no one is just responsible for maintaining or even safeguarding this equipment?
In the sites that are changing from teleconference centers where they have a fair amount of equipment to volunteer sites where they essentially have a contract set as a teleconferencer. I believe we've got plans in place to ship the, for example, smaller items in so they can be used, things like tape recorders or telephone answering machines. The larger pieces of equipment, furniture, more than anything, it will be much more cost effective to leave them in place and hope to find a buyer for them out there. In the information offices, which will become session only, the office will remain intact. I don't want to say they lock the door on June 30th and don't come back until January 14th. They will be coming in probably weekly to take care of any incoming messages, and also the staff will be there for teleconferences when they're scheduled.
I wonder, I don't know how short of asking this I can find out, but are you three going to be around here? Is anybody losing their job?
I'll be here.
Kathy's going to be in Wisconsin with
right.
her husband.
Okay. What I think I'd like is to request that if we're finding that requests for information or all the things that the information that it takes them are not being met by this volunteer, I'll use the term experiment, I'd like somehow to track that and keep a record of whether this is working or not. During the early going, during the interim, so that if we come back in January and have some sense that this is not going to work, that this whole system is going to fall apart in these rural areas, we need to know that. The sooner the better.
Mr. Chairman,
one thing I'd like to throw in, not only will there be volunteers in the volunteer teleconference offices, but some of, as I understand it, one of maybe the alternatives is to have some legislative staff utilizing the LIOs that are going to be closed during the interim. Say, for instance, in Bethel or something, if that office is not going to be manned by, it's only going to be a session-only office, there may be Senator Sackett's aide utilizing that office. They may perform some of the same services to the constituents as we would have done, but yet they won't be a legislative affairs office. They'll be utilizing our office, but they won't be our employee as such. It won't be a nonpartisan office. It won't, you know, we'll have to have some policy changes that way, I believe. But so some of the services that we performed in the past in those offices still will be performed.
Depending on where it is.
Another good point, Warren, I trust you are looking into that, the policy ramifications and the nonpartisan aspect of it. Next year's an election, we've all got to be very sensitive to that. Get it right between the eyes. Get into the habit of using these offices for your interim office.
That
could cause a lot of grief.
The council's going to have to get a policy. I mean, the council has pretty well decided this is the way they want to go. And I don't think that they're being a bunch of political animals on this. I think they're looking at space where they feel that there's equipment in place. And in fact, in Kodiak, I know Senator Zara plans to work there. There's the display writers there and stuff. We're not moving things up from his office.
A lot of the legislative information offices like Ketchikan, Matsu, a lot of those became legislative offices in the interim, campaign out of their legislative
office.
They
did in the past, right.
So it's not, that isn't a policy shift there. I mean, it's not a campaign office, it's a legislative office. I guess I have a question on these session-only offices, Glen Allen, Petersburg, Valdez, Dillingham. Actually, I'm more familiar with Dillingham than any of them because I've worked out of that during the summer when I commercial fish. I've worked out of the LAO office. What's going to happen to all the equipment in all those offices?
We pay rent year-round, and so the equipment is there and in place, and as Kathy stated, those people, they are paid 7 months out of the year. And in fact, Dillingham has been funded for 2 more months in the House budget, or in the House reappropriations, I believe. So they're, they will be almost full-time funded. And the question was asked about whether we had second thoughts in fact, we did, and that's where Wrangell was put back in. We took 5 LTCs out that was probably a mistake to have taken out. There was enough traffic. They probably should have been left in the budget, and they're back in on the Senate side, and I think the House also.
How much does that amount to?
$66,000, Chairman.
So, you're going to continue paying the rent, but you just won't have a person employed in the LAO office?
Right. You can't really. It's pretty difficult to pick up. See, most of those places, some operate half-time year-round, and others choose to close up a couple of months in the summer and half-time. And we will work with each group of legislators and the respective LIO and make the thing work the best way we can for that district.
I'm just curious because it's all set up there, so I was wondering if you're going to have to put things in boxes and put them away for such a moment.
That's why we just didn't see legislators in there, really. It makes good sense if they want an office in that area.
I think one of my other questions, I'd like to see some statistics. You mentioned earlier in the presentation there was a significant increase in public opinion messages this year. I wonder if you could give me some hard information.
That's the best argument I know for shutting it down.
Did you, while you're talking PLMs, did you see that research request I did on public opinion messages? The cost of public opinion messages?
I saw one from House Research.
Yeah. I just wanted to
Was it last year?
No, it's this year. It's just about a month ago.
No, I didn't see that one. I do have some hard data, though, and it's interesting. We did it. As you may be aware, we do a monthly report each month and to the executive director and to the legislature. And we compile stats on how many POMs we got that month, how many pieces of telecopy we sent or received that month, and that sort of thing. In the month of April, we usually have an average of between 75 to 125 a day of public opinion messages coming from the outlying offices to us. In the month of April, we had over a three-day period of time, we had 800 per day. Most of it, as you're aware, probably is the APA contract. But I think so. for instance, last year we had, during session, we had over 11,000 POMs come in for the session, all 5 or 6 months, session, last session. This year we've had, to date, almost that amount, and the session isn't over, plus it's a shorter session, so we'll have about the same amount, but since it's a shorter session, we'll have 11,000 individual POMs, public opinion messages, to 178, I just looked at this, that's why I'm still remembering, 178,000 addressees, some are to all legislators, some are to a committee, 6 or 7 members, some are to 1 or 2, some are just to their district, delegation, that sort of thing. This session, we've already gotten to that point, and we'll still receive more, but since it's a shorter session, it'll probably be the same level.
Representative Albert.
Now, while we're talking about POMs, there's a real opportunity for cost savings. Probably 1 in 10 that I get is of interest to me because it's from somebody that I know or is from a constituent. When you think of all the costs of the paper and the cost of manpower for distributing all those needless, useless POMs around, if we just had a policy at the originating source that said you don't send one to every legislator, just your own, or if they really want to send one to every legislator, maybe they ought to pay a few pennies for it or something. But it's such a nuisance. Just to go through them, it's a nuisance. Pity the poor people have to run them around and stuff them in boxes and type them all up on the machine. But there's a real opportunity for savings. They're cut down on those suckers. They're useless, most of them.
The problem with that is that one legislator wants all PONs that come to them, and they obviously have enough staff maybe that they can answer them all and respond
okay.
to them.
There's an answer to that, though. The answer is for you to quantify the cost and put it to the council and say, do you want to incur this extra increment of cost for the nuisance for the 5 or 6 of you that like to hear from everybody in the whole state on every issue?
Then I'm afraid that we'd have on the front page of the press that we're suppressing people, and they have a message that every legislator should receive. I get the general feeling when I go out to the LIOs, that they do try to tell people that the best way to contact their individual legislators is to write a letter. That's the best way to get their attention, short of talking to them or calling them. And then, that if they limit it to the legislator that is most interested in it or has an interest or on the committee, that, again, that will get the best attention. So, the thing that I want to work out, and we don't have it worked out yet, one thing was finding out how many legislators use email, how many legislators have terminals that can get that. No, we've done that, yes.
No, I'm saying what I was going to put
there. Yeah, well, we have done that. We do know. And we would like to be able to get those POMs to come in, be on the system, you go to your terminal, and then you can give the parameters on which POMs you want to see.
Right.
But we're responsible to make sure that those are available for you.
I would suggest if you were to do a survey, make up a little survey for 60 legislators and ask them how they want the POMs, how many they want.
Well, I think Kathy knows. I started to put a survey out. And then kind of, but I just got a little concerned. I was running into a brick wall at that point. I'd rather do it. I think by next session, we will be able to offer that service to any legislator that wants it. And when I talked to Kathy about distributing and charity, about distributing POMs, it gets down to where you send, I mean, you'd have such a matrix because they send in to the entire committee on all members of the given committee. Or they'll send to all Anchorage delegates. It just gets to be such a mess that the computer can do that for us, but people can't.
Representatives, the research request, the research that House Research did shows that the POMs cost $750,000. That's the cost of the public opinion messages. In terms of staff time, in terms of the amount of time it takes for people to answer them, and interaction of them, all that costs $750,000. And what Warren, maybe you understood what Warren was saying, but I just learned this a couple days ago, was that at some point we don't have to do all that paperwork, and it'll come right to your office, and it'll be on the screen, and you can just run through them, and it'll be punched into the computer. So if you want to answer Joe so and so, your staff doesn't have to punch in that person's name. I mean, all this stuff is going on right now. It's all punched in the computer. All you have to do is type a body of letter back to that person, and then it goes out and prints out.
But, it's a big but. You're still going to have to pay the line charge for this data to come down when we ought to cut it off at the source. I think the public is responsible enough, so if you put up a little sign where they send these things out and said, your public opinion message costs $14.20 to each legislator on an average, I think the public will stop sending them to everybody indiscriminately, and they'll say, okay, here's what I've got to send them.
Well, we can further that problem because we also accept collect calls to send them, so.
Pardon me?
That's how we get them from California and everywhere else, huh?
I don't know. We're going to limit that to some degree.
What do we do?
We accept
the policy is to accept collect calls.
Yes.
If I may inject something, I wrote POM down here with a block around. I was going to say just what Representative Davis has. One of the things that I hope we continue to press too, that we have in place already the system. It could be entered right on the electric computer there, addressed to the people. You could call it up in the morning and just tell it to print what POMs you didn't want. You know, there isn't some in there. But I don't know how we get through that stage of actually getting people to use the systems that are in place. I understand what you're saying about the indiscriminate use of them. I don't.
I think, Michael, from my perspective, that not trying to be argumentative, but to me, the real value of the system is to encourage people to send POMs. I, for one, would not want that.
Well, I think it's to encourage people to send useful POMs. But when you make it free and there's no cost involved, why not send it to 60 people when two will do? And I think it's because every piece of information that comes before my eyes that I don't need to see, I resent it having it take up my time.
Well,
I know you were all jealous of our time.
You were at liberty to tell your constituents.
You don't have to get in there to tell mine.
Well,
no,
this These are management decisions on how you want to run the organization called the legislature. I think we have to do it the most efficient way we can, and my constituents will be happy with an efficient legislature.
I had one specific question.
If I may, I want to make sure we cover everything, because in 13 minutes the Anchorage group has a Anchorage caucus meeting.
According to my figures, if we sent 11,000, we got 11,000 palms?
11,000
in April, I believe.
All right, 750,000, that's about $68 a palm.
I'm sorry, what was that?
About $68 a palm, if my math is correct.
I'd be interested in your study.
Well, that includes everything. Answering
no, that includes it. Answering it, which I think you got to pull out the answering.
They are kind of expensive. Well, you can say that at least one staff person per legislator deals with palms. So you can figure that out. It's expensive.
I asked a question about the blue book. If I remember seeing some numbers on that, we were hoping to be able to put that in house. But next year, we're hoping to be able to do that, or what?
I may have misunderstood you. The blue book, what's referred to the blue book is the book that comes out of the state library. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, that's done by the state library, not by this agency. Now,
well,
maybe there's
you're talking about the little narrow.
There was one thing with us leaving. I wanted to cover it about 2 minutes. These last two have been a real lesson to the chair. I think if we have a subcommittee, i.e., you, that is dealing with, let's say, legislative affairs. Not in the policy, but in the fact-finding, the ongoing one person that this committee can continue to come to and bring the data to, I think we will really, next year, I have to feel, I sit on the subcommittee in the administration that deals with this budget. I was so swamped. In fact, you have to forgive me, although I've been here before, I was still learning which columns to look into. You know, and the people that have been here a long time are not very generous. I've represented Thompson ongoing because legislative affairs and what you're doing is vitally important. Otherwise, we're just window dressing here. So one of the things that I would like is you just ongoing continue to work with that committee, and then as you develop whatever needs to be developed, like, this is invaluable to me just by your chairing this. And then, Marco, on the other hand, we started something last week that is vital. We need to begin to think in terms of working with APUC regulations, etc. I would like to have you deal with that. Because if I try and fractionalize, we're going to get a little bit of everything. Now, there's going to be other things that we've got to do, and what I would like to do to each member, say, all right, you're the subcommittee the teleconferences are working with legislative affairs. You're the specialist in this group on APUC, because we're going to have to begin to deal with that, those problems that are coming out. So that's what I would hope to be able to do. And as far as the interim is concerned, we are going to have an office. We are going to be aggressive. We are going to get something done in the interim session. I'm hoping, I don't know if it'll hang on or not, that I'm trying to get, with everybody else trying to get my, I'm trying to get some for an interim thing where we can bring in a couple of people who can pull all of this information together so that when we get off the plane and come down here in January, we have got some telecommunication policy to make this a visible and a worthwhile committee.
I think that's a good approach, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to accept that liaison's function.
See, and then that way there, if Warren is one person within the whole committee, then as the problem, like if this had been the case before and we knew about it in the budget, he could have come up before as a part of our committee testifying in that particular area. I was sitting there on the budget committee. So there is an opportunity for us to give input. But I am sure that the word, quote, telecommunications this year probably suffered because of the fact that I remember when we were going down through the budget and then the people were cutting and said, well, the first thing we'll do is cut something out of telecommunications. Well, they're cutting out of the technology that is really the most important for the future. Now, I don't know how much we can recover from that. As you said, what happens is obviously today, it was a today's paper, had an article about about it in the Anchorage Times, and we've been getting quite a few palms in from people that are concerned about this service cutting off. Now, some may be fact and some may be fiction.
There's been numerous articles, and I just suppose I'll just, for the four of you, your people here, but I have a concern, I think, that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot here.
Yeah.
And, so I would like very much for you to keep in touch with all of this, and if you've got problems, if this isn't your doing, we've done this, you people are trying your best to figure out how to make this thing fly with the very limited amount of money we've decided to give you, and if that's a mistake, the sooner we admit it's a mistake, the better. So what I'm saying is, from my perspective, if you come to that conclusion, for Pete's sake, let us know, so that we in turn can convince the rest of our colleagues that we need to do something about it. Because from my perspective, this system is magnificent, and it's just now beginning to bear fruit. That the number of palms increase doesn't surprise me in the least. That it's been building up over years. People are now used to it. They're comfortable with it. They know it has an impact. And now here we chop this thing off.
Well, there will be no limitation on the palms
really
over the past.
Questions, and I guess we can only, time will tell.
on the other hand, I mean, the legislature, in my view, spends too much money on itself. We've cut the budget. I expect to have some reduction in services. It's going to be somewhat inconvenient, but the guiding principle has to be we've got to spend less money on ourselves.
So when we're looking at these cuts, if there's a
more efficient way to make the cuts, we can increase productivity over here. And cut somewhere else, and these people being closest to it have probably got some pretty good ideas that may or may not have been taken into account. That's the kind of thing I hope that you would concentrate on.
That's right.
But I sure don't want to be, I don't ever want to be a proponent for getting the legislative budget up. I think we can go down some more. I hope we will.
Well, I think the basic thing, by one person really tracking and being on top of it, we can find out, like, I'd rather see line charges reduced.
We ought to own our own satellite or something.
Well, those are questions that may, in the process of this entire thing, come up. I was talking about your dealing with APUC, Alaskom, and some of the problems that we're going to have.
You guys have to run to your meeting. I don't want to keep you from that. I want to thank Warren and the staff for taking the time to come down here today. If nothing else, maybe it's a concern. Monitor this kind of stuff and let us know. If going to four wire means that we're limiting the amount of teleconferences that we can do to the extent that we're not going to be satisfied with that, then we need to know that as soon as possible and do something about it. Because, to me, this is a real important contact with the public. I agree with you, Marco, completely about reducing the budget, but for me, we took the most visible thing and reduced it, and that's the dumbest thing we could have done.
I'm
condemning ourselves. We're the ones that did it, I think. It's a boneheaded approach.
Can I just ask a question for you? Juno is not on this. Why is that?
I haven't seen any of this.
Where did we get that?
For a legislative information office?
This is for the estimated operating cost by site.
I believe Juno was on one of the earlier pages.
Juno really doesn't function as a legislative information office. People don't come in, off the street to get, they go to the documents room.
Oh, so if we want to know the cost of this operation here, though, that's part of the overall picture.
Definitely it is.
It's hard to assess the real cost of this whole system if Juno's not part of it.
If I may, the document, when it was prepared, normally, when we pull figures from our budget the way it prints out, it more heavily impacts Juno because the Juno codes, teleconference and information, pick up all the costs for the lease lines, all the costs for the published service that goes statewide and so forth. So they were broken up into bits and assigned to the various sites, and that's how they ended up not being in there.
So some of the Juno costs are allocated amongst all the field sites?
Not completely. We could pull Juno staff costs, and that would be a fair estimate. But at the time, this document was prepared to say, well, let's get a good handle on how much Anchorage or Dillingham or Barrow costs. And it's a real good, solid estimate based on the systems and charges that we've had.
You know, my advice would be to keep very discreet costs for Juneau, because I think some legislators look at the, you know, the Juneau bureaucracy that the legislature has as the one that those of us who are not from Juneau tend to look at first, instead of looking, well, rather looking at Anchorage, too.
Yeah, right.
But I just think you ought to have the cost broken down discreetly for Juneau as well as other locations.
One thing I might add, I'd like to thank you very much for coming. As I said, lots of things in life happen by serendipity. I would like to have you as the head of the subcommittee that deals with this and legislative affairs. Now, there's one thing in having said this. What we need to do is be the advocates and the most knowledgeable people on their budget as it relates to that, so that when somebody comes before them testifying on a budget, we as a legislator are up to speed. Having said that, I recognize Warren as the head of legislative affairs. His chain of command is to Jack Fuller and to that body up there. We are just kind of sitting out here as a special committee looking into the operation and the technical one. And I would say this, Warren, that I will do everything I can as chair to be a smooth liaison between you and that body, so we're not going off out into left field. That is one of the things that I have attempted to do with this committee, work very close with Senator Sackett and the people over there, and the people in the governor's office, recognizing that they have a strong interest, and the Department of Administration, so that this is not perceived as some another committee starting off in another direction. So I would like to, I think that we can be an advocate, we can be of a help. You've been around long enough that you know the politics as well as I do on it. If you just come on board and they say whack, 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 they're going to cut it, and you haven't even had a chance. But this, to, you know, you've got to do what they say. I feel if we can come up to speed on the things that we're doing. Because there is an opportunity for this to be more than just a window dressing community. It is in an area that's going to be so vital for the future. So I wanted you to look upon what I was saying today as, oh my God, I need the last thing in the world, I need another person to report to. What we can do is maybe help be that bridge between the larger bodies of legislators that just say, well, fine, let's cut teleconferencing a little bit.
Well, in all fairness to the council, they took a good look at it. They were concerned. There were some on there that were very concerned about it. And I think the cuts that were made to get down to the level that they wanted to make, I don't really think we could have done any better overall. I'm speaking of operations and legislative affairs. We may have made some mistakes. We did. Try to catch them quick.
Chairman, before I leave, make one comment. I just want to say that this is the kind of information I was looking for at the beginning of the session, and I want to thank my colleague from Kodiak for pulling it together.
Yeah.
It's useful, and it's the kind of stuff we ought to be dealing with on a regular basis.
Okay, now, back before you go shoving off, having made that statement, remember I told you about APUC now, your follow-up with Marv Weatherly and what have you. I'm looking for you as the person to develop that.
Great. After my speech about cutting the cost, you want me to come in here with a new satellite proposal?
No, I'm saying about a new satellite. I'm talking about when we talk about APUC, we should be able to turn to you and say, okay, what's the latest on that or legislative affairs? Then
what I want to do is
involve you all in doing the chair's work, and then I just sit here and preside and take the credit for it all.
If I study real hard, I'll be able to spell APUC by the next meeting.
All right, okay. There's no more business to come before the committee. The meeting is adjourned at 5 p.m. and thank you so very much for coming.